The previous program was Gays Against Guns Radio Gag, heard Tuesdays at 2:30 p.m. Stay tuned for Black Star News. Coming up, it's 3 p.m., and this is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org online.
Greetings, greetings, sisters and brothers. Welcome to Black Star News Show on WBAI 99.5 FM radio, also streaming on WBAI.org. I am your host, Milton Halimadi. Yes, welcome to your favorite Pan-African show. A couple of people actually have recently been asking me, that opening song that you always play at the beginning of the show, whose music is that? Well, his name is Franklin Bukaka, the late Franklin Bukaka. He was a Congolese musician, a very conscious and enlightened brother who unfortunately was killed very early. And I'm talking about Congo Brazzaville, not Democratic Republic of the Congo. These are practically sister countries just across the river. And this guy was so phenomenal. His music always had a message. He was basically saying, okay, fellow African leaders, we've had independence for a couple of years now, but I see a new class emerging in Africa, a new class, African Europeans not connecting with the people. And that's actually one of the reasons he ended up being killed. So for people that have been asking me, yes, Franklin Bukaka, the last name is spelled B-O-U-K-A-K-A. I encourage you to do some research on this brother. All right, so welcome to today's show. As usual, I'm joined by my co-host, brother, comrade, Colin Benjamin. He keeps calling me sir. I wonder why. Are you there?
Good afternoon, comrade, brother.
All right, very good. So now, before we bring in today's guest, I want to recognize two women as well, as we've been doing the last couple of weeks. And today, of course, is our last session for Women's History Month. And the first woman I want to recognize is the late Wangari Maathai, a Kenyan environmental activist. She was way, way ahead of her time. At the time, she was fighting for environmental justice, protecting the forest and the environment in Kenya. She was really ridiculed. She was attacked by the regime at the time. I think it was President Daniel Arap Moi. Arrested several times, beaten several times by the police because she was way ahead of her time. And the second woman I'd like to recognize is my late sister, Barbara Alimadi. And this is the first time I'm speaking about her because now I'm able to do so. In April, April will be the second anniversary of her joining the ancestors. So before today, it was impossible for me to even mention her name without completely choking up. She was a comrade. We shared a passion for fighting injustice. She was, of course, in the belly of the beast in Uganda, fighting the dictatorship of General Yoweri Museveni. And if anybody's interested, if you go to YouTube and you put Barbara Alimadi, you'll see a march that she led of other young women protesting police brutality and military brutality. It was over an incident where a leading woman politician named Ingrid Turinawe had been assaulted in broad daylight. Police were trying to arrest her, and they grabbed her by her breast, pulling her out of a car. And my sister, that is really when she became a full-time activist. She said, this is an assault on every woman in the world. Mm-hmm. She demanded that the dictator's wife say something about it. She said, okay, your husband is a dictator. You know, we don't see eye to eye, but on this issue, you need to say something as a woman. Mm-hmm. Of course, mm-hmm. she never did. But my sister got all these other young women, and they went to the police station and demanded to see the police commander and gave him a verbal lashing. And what they did was something unique in Uganda as well. They, you know, took off their shirts and, you know, showed their bras.
Mm-hmm.
And the officers didn't even know how to handle that. But after that became an actually popular way of protest in Uganda. So she joined the ancestors 2 years ago. And as of this day, we're not absolutely sure 100% how she transitioned. But that is a discussion for another day. So Colin, I would like you today to actually introduce our guest. Mm-hmm. And then we take it from there. Go ahead, bro.
Okay. Well, good afternoon to everyone. Me and Milton had a conversation a few days ago, and he said to me, well, you know, we're about to wrap up Women's History Month. And he said to me, hey, who can we get on, you know, that is a black businesswoman, dynamic. And as Milton was telling me about all these particular attributes that, you know, he was kind of looking for, a voice in my head said, yeah, you know who you need to get, right? Our guests, I mean, we wouldn't even have enough time to just go through everything she has done. I'll just mention a few. Okay. She's a longtime radio broadcaster. She's a journalist, writer, publicist, music promoter.
All right.
She was the founder of the Coalition to Preserve Reggae Music. It's a very important initiative. She was also the co-founder of TSO Productions. You know, I could go on and on, but I will welcome.
Wait a minute. Aren't you leaving out, you know how history is important to me, right?
Oh, yes. And she's also, she does so many things. She's also been a history professor at her alma mater, Baruch College.
Okay.
So without further ado, yeah. I'm going to welcome my sister, Sharon Gordon.
All right. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Sharon. How are you?
Greetings, family. Greetings. And thank you, Brother Colin. But thank you, Brother Milton, for making him go there. Don't leave it out. Professor Wilson, my mentor, would be very happy to hear this conversation right now, what you just did, because he insisted that I lecture and be an adjunct at a time when I didn't even see myself as such, Milton. He saw in me what others, what I didn't see at a time that others saw at a very young age. So thank you for that. And it's a good way to start, isn't it?
Absolutely. No, I mean, listen, my focus for a long time had been journalism and economics, but lately it's been history. And that's what I'm also an adjunct at John Jay. And what I teach is, you know, African history. And now when I look back, I find it hard to respect anybody who calls herself or himself a journalist and it's not grounded in history. I don't see how you can even do it.
Exactly. Where's your frame of reference? Where's the context? Well, you know, where's your yardstick? What are you measuring with? Upon what do you make these decisions that you're making and these points of views that you're sharing? And it's kind of like why we're in the position we're in right now, the crisis that we find ourselves in with that, because, you know, you just need to have a cell phone now, Milton, and a social media page and decide that you're a journalist and you're a journalist.
It's sad. It's really sad. Yeah, but tell us how you came to where you are today, you know?
A life that has been the same way. Mm-hmm. Milton, I've been this way since I was a child, and that is just really what it is. I have just become a grown-up version of who and what I've always been. I come out of community. I come out of, you know, that creative space. As a child growing up in Jamaica, I was mentored by Miss Louise Bennett Coverley, Jamaica's first lady of I say, language. Because of her, I am who I am. And many others. I've had many other surrogates. Miss Campbell at the J-Teens dance troupe. Miss Power from my dance troupe at St. Joseph's. You know, I'm a recovering Catholic. You know, I've been Catholic all my life. So I've been recovering for many years. I have done the 12-step program. I'm doing very well. So I come out of that. You know, going to Catholic school as a child, but with an Afrocentric social sensibility because of all the extracurricular activity that I was involved in. And so it was from a very early age that I kind of found, you know, my space and just kind of just continued along this journey all my life, doing all that I do with aplomb.
So I would like to ask you.
And to the universe and the creator, of course, for blessing me, but yes.
Okay, so I would like to ask you, you talk about your Afrocentric social sensibility, your consciousness. That is often not easy in all of our countries, whether on the continent or in the Caribbean, where we are subjected to World Bank and IMF imposed systems.
Exactly.
I mean, we know historically that, you know, it was in Jamaica, after all, that Walter Rodney was kicked out.
Absolutely. You sure got him out.
Right. So I want to know how the same country produced a person like you.
It is that struggle, though. It is out of that struggle that people like me come. Because it's iron sharpening iron, right? Yes. And so Miss Lou, when they thought they were silencing her voice, and people like her and the Bob Marleys of the world and, you know, the Peter Toshes of the world, right? The Bernard Spears, the nannies, you can't, if you have a great championship, the challenger has to be as great, right? As the competitor. And so here I come. And Bob did sing and say, them are tired for sewer face. They can't get we out of the race. And we have to pay attention to that, you know, and celebrate each other and celebrate our successes and celebrate our movement forward, considering the history for what it is. But we move forward on whatever. We must press forward and celebrate our achievements in spite of the oppressive systems in which we are cultivated. As I said, I am an active recovering Catholic. I was traumatized most of my youth by a religion that did harm to me.
And that could go a lot of ways.
Compensated me and the me's of the world for that. Hence my reason for being so dedicated to my culture and the advancement of my culture and my people. Now for all that has been done to us.
Right. Yes. So now for younger people that would like perhaps to, you know, pursue the steps that you followed, what are some books that you recommend that they must read that you think would help
guide
them?
I guess you're talking to Colin, huh? You know about me and the books. No. I, you know, years ago, many books, years ago, and right now, in light of all that is happening with this thing with everybody being all caught up with the Will Smiths and just inappropriate behavior all over the world being accepted as being normalized and all of that. You know, one of my favorites is From Superman to Man.
J.A. Roger. Yes.
I would recommend folk to take the time because, you see, humbling yourself and self-control and knowing yourself, you're able to manifest self-control of self, right? In knowing yourself and in understanding yourself. To be a man, you know, what it is to be a man. So From Superman to Man by J.A. Rogers is where I would start. I absolutely encourage folks to read any and everything that they can get their hands on by Sheikh Anta.
Sheikh Anta Diop.
Yes. Any and everything.
Yes,
get your hands on.
You know, once my students are exposed to him, they are never the same again.
Never, never.
They come back to me and they say, you know, oh, Professor, you know, I sat down with my parents and I taught them about Anta Diop. I spoke to my sister, my brother, and I showed them the lectures that you showed us in class. It's just amazing. It's like something they've always just been waiting for. So I'm glad you mentioned that.
Of course. Thank you. I appreciate the endorsement. Well,
so continue.
Francis
Prince-Welsing
is a favorite. Mm. Anything you can get your hands on, especially, you know, the theory of color, you know, ISIS papers, anything like that, anything by our dear sister is just important to have and to know. Because what she sets up in terms of symbolism and the psyche is so important in this time, especially. Mm. So needed to understand that frame of reference, that lens, as you said earlier, Milton, what lens are we looking through, right? What are we really looking through? What lens are we looking through? Of course, anything by Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, Dr. Ben, your comment.
Dr. Van Sertima, Dr. Van Sertima, and everything by Dr. Van Sertima.
Yes, yes.
I can just keep going.
We won't stop you. We will not hesitate. We won't stop you. So, listeners, you know, you young folks out there, hope you are making notes. And at the end of the show today, we might, I'm sure Colin is also scribbling down. I'll make sure that Colin remind you, all of you young listeners out there. Radio media can become a very powerful, powerful instrument, and that's how we should use it.
So listeners, if you're just joining us,
you're listening to Black Star News Show on WBI 99.5 FM radio, also streaming on WBI.org. And, of course, this is the station that brings you the kind of conversation you're listening today. We often become like a university, the people's university. And this is today's show, also celebrating Women's History Month. And you know that you cannot get this kind of value anywhere else in New York or anywhere else for that matter. So, listeners, we encourage you to support this listener-supported commercial-free station. So please pick up the phone and dial 212-209-2950. Whatever you can afford will be put to good use. You can also do something better. You can adopt Black Star News Show or any one of our other programs as a buddy. In that case, the amount that you yourself designate will be taken out of your credit or your debit card on a monthly basis. And if any of you want to join us today in this university setting, please pick up the phone and dial 212-209-2877. That is the number to join in our conversation today. So back to you, Professor Sharon Gordon.
Well, you know, we're celebrating. Thank you so much for that. And please support WBAI. Big up to all my Midnight Ravers family.
School. Terry Wilson.
Thank you, Sean. Dubologist,
Kwame.
I hope my colleague Charles. Hope I haven't left any. Obiaman, everybody. Yeah. Hope I haven't left anybody out. And you, Colin, and Terry, big ups. But two very important books that I must mention, and I should have mentioned them at the start because those are just it's When and Where I Enter. Paula Giddens in this time, When and Where I Enter. I think is something good for young girls to read and men too. And of course, a book that came out, I think it was last year or the year before, Cast. Isabel Wilkerson's book is a must. To understand the discontent of our times, please pick up Cast. Isabel Wilkerson has done an amazing job. Would you say so?
Absolutely.
Yes.
In fact, I was supposed to review it, but doing a million things, I never got to review it. So, but yes, I endorse it 100%.
Amazing, amazing, amazing work. In terms of, for people who, you know, we've been giving you a lot of academia, but if you wanted to go into the literature side of things, I am a Toni Morrison devotee. So
right.
Please reach out for our sister's work. Alice, of course.
Alice Walker.
Yes. Zora Neale Hurston.
Yes.
And please just go and get, just wet your wick. Right. And
so in other words, what you're doing is you're saying to people that if you, because often we are busy trying to exist, you know, in a capitalist society,
yes.
We have to exist. So you become a wage laborer. But what you're suggesting is that people, if you cannot make it to these established institutions for formal education, then in lieu of that, please pick up these books.
Yes.
That's essentially what you're saying. Because exactly. If I go by the titles, you know. Yeah.
No, you don't have to go by the, go read these folks,
yeah.
You know. Get yourself, open up your mind, open up your eyes, open up your spirit, and know that you'd be surprised. My grandmother would always tell me, you know, no original thought, baby. When you're a original thought, you're a genius. Right? And so these are things I learned very young. I was very blessed to be raised by very wise people. And so I've kept that in my heart and used it as my roadmap throughout my life.
Yeah. And now when you say that, you remind me of the elders, you know, the elders back home on the continent. And there's a reason why the elders were so revered.
Yes.
Because they were the repositories of knowledge. You know, just knowledge and culture and history. And that is why people sat around them. To absorb all this information.
Absolutely. And that's the blessing that I had as a young girl in my life, coming up at the time that I was coming up, that I had the privilege, the honor of sitting at so many powerful ancestors, now ancestors, then elders' feet. And they poured into me. And so sometimes I myself can't even imagine. There's a phrase that a sister friend of mine always tells me, and I'm just gonna blank on it now, and if she listens to this, she's just gonna shake her head. I can see her. She's an attorney, my dear sister friend Erica Hemmings, another alpha girl. We all went to school together. But there's a phrase she always tells me about when I would say, you know, things are just greater than your imagination. Like, you have no idea what is in store for you unless you really go put yourself to it, right? If you don't apply yourself, if you don't make an effort, if you don't take a chance on it, then how can you speak?
You never know. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So I was about to ask you, what can you pinpoint and say, this is something that really changed my life dramatically in a very fundamental way? But it's also, then it's difficult to ask that question because I'm thinking, you were always being reinforced, you know, with positive feedback from a very young age. So I don't even see a moment where something else, but if there is, go ahead.
I'm not even sure how to take the question.
Yeah, I should withdraw it.
Varied life.
I should withdraw the question.
No. I think tell me if what I'm hearing, are you asking me about a denouement moment in my life, or a moment in my life where I made a decision that has caused me to reflect? Is that what you're saying?
Yes,
that
absolutely.
Caused me to reflect my... Well, I can tell you that a very recent decision, and Colin is aware of this, I pulled away from social media and all of that 4 years ago and shut down my own radio program and everything and just withdrew from all of that because I felt that I was becoming... pulled into a very toxic space and energy. And I'm very protective of my energy. I'm very protective of me because I know what I have and I know who I am. And I know how I have to be. I've come to learn that and know that. And so I have to, you know, I'm talking, Coalition to Preserve Reggae, I'm preserving Sharon. So in preserving Sharon, I had to pull away Milton from all the hype and all the, you know, the, oh, Miss G and the this and the that, and you have all the followings and all of this and that. But what is it doing to you at the personal level? Right. And I realized that I've always been one who's always looking in the mirror, because that's what I was trained to do and taught to do and know to do. And when I saw how toxic the space was, and this was right around in the time of the 45 person, the massive orange, I just really, and I saw what was happening with friends and colleagues and what the algorithms were doing on the social media platforms and all of that. And I saw how conversations, well, now we're seeing the manifestations and of what has happened with that, right, Milton, but and Colin? But I'm saying at the front end of that, when it was just coming in and I'm seeing it, I'm like, whoa, this is toxic for my spirit, for my spirit. Yeah. And Colin, so that would, not Colin, Milton, that would be the time when I really, I think I went in to get higher, and I've gotten so much higher. I've gotten so much higher as of coming out of that, because it is a good thing to do.
Absolutely.
We must take time with ourselves. I know if Barbara was here, she would probably agree with me right now. May her soul rest in peace, Ashe. I'm grateful for her memory. But we must take time for ourselves. But
yes.
We take time for ourselves. That's the life lesson that I've learned, Milton.
Yes. No, no, that what you're saying is very important. I myself, I mean, I have a certain discipline. I know that, you know, I'm going to spend the next 15 minutes or so maybe engaging on social media, you know, see what's going on. But I'm very disciplined. When I decide to, you know, cut off for a while, you know, I'm not worried about what is going on. But I know people that cannot step away even for a minute. I ask my students, right? So I have in my classes, my class range from 25 to 30 students. We had pared down to about 20, 25 during the height of the pandemic. But previously, it could go as 30 to 35 students. And I asked my class, I say, how many of you sleep with your phone right next to you? And each and every student would raise their hand.
Oh my God, the destruction that's happening is terrible.
And I just thought about it. I hadn't read about it anywhere, but just the way I observed them engaging.
Yes.
I mean, in the beginning of my class, I tell them, I said, listen, put all your devices away. I'm sure you can sacrifice an hour and so just to engage in our class. And then as soon as you step out, go ahead. But even that, some of them find it difficult. And that's why I decided to ask that question.
Yes.
And then they confirmed my worst fear. So what are you talking about is, because how are you going to learn if you don't open books anymore?
Thank you.
If you don't listen to, you know, elders who have some experience.
Yes.
It's quite scary what we're producing. So I relate to what you're saying.
Thank you. And the other thing that I see with that, Milton, too, because I'm around a lot of young people as well. And it's not just young people, because, yes, it's with them at a certain level, but I see it with people, because it's people versus people. That's another thing that I learned from my grandmother, right? People versus people, right? Because it's just people. We're people. Humans first. I see adults who are as addicted to the devices, to the hype, to all of it.
For everything.
Just the way I see. So I say to people, it's people. Yes, I see the young people, because that's all they have known. But I know adults who have known another way. And who are as, it's as if it has turned on that thing that is being turned on in the youth. It has turned on in these adults who have that thing in them that gets turned on with that. And the psychologists and all the cerebral folks out there will know, and they'll fill in the blank right there for us. Is that thing, right?
Right.
It's
right.
Igniting that. And I see it. And I see it in a way, Milton, like you said, that we didn't need any studies to tell us what we were observing, what we are observing with our own eyes in the spaces and the engagements that we're having. It's really troubling. But the good thing is, we are here to be a light. And that's what we are. We are the light. And that's why we're, this conversation today could be clicking. Somebody could be driving right now, hearing this and recognizing themselves in the conversation and saying, you know something, I need to check myself. For example, my phone goes off at night. My phone is turned off. Everyone knows. If anything happened, I learn about it in the morning.
And
I
learn still be
about
there.
Will and them in the morning. I am not watching those things. I'm going to bed to sleep. I need to sleep. I need to get my rest. Okay? God bless you. Have a good life. I live the life of being awake many nights, Colin, as you know. I've never seen my bed until the morning. So nowadays at this stage in my life, when I see the opportunity to sleep, Milton, I sleep because for years I did not sleep.
I think you need to do a podcast or something that just, you know, help people recover from social media addiction.
From your lips too, then sisters.
You should consider that.
Yes.
And I'm not kidding. And when we talk social media, we should include a corporate so-called news as well. Now, there was a time that I used to go to the business library on 34th Street. And that was when actually I wasn't watching TV. I didn't watch TV for a while. But when you go to the business library, they have that whole wall just with different TV screens tuned to different stations. And then I would go to like a CNN or MSNBC. And then I would come back maybe 2 weeks later. And then I realized they're still having the same conversation. Same conversation, same topic, just a different guest, a different talking head. And then one time, I'm not kidding. One time I
Listen,
went.
I love you because I know what you're saying.
I turned off. I actually stopped watching TV. I unplugged my TV for about maybe 5, 6, 7 years, right? A long time. And then to be honest with you, when the election was approaching, I felt I had to watch this live. And I'm referring to the possibility of Donald Trump becoming president. And that's why I went back to watching TV again. But even then, I realized they were still having the same conversation on MSNBC and NBC. It's outrageous. I mean, so for example, right now, what goes on? You know, Ukraine, right? They bring a different guest and pose the same questions.
The same questions. Because that's what they have.
And what are these questions? Oh, do you think, you know, Putin
is
nuclear? You think he could use nuclear? Oh, did you see that table? He has that distance between him and his advisors. Oh, that confirms he's isolated. And they bring the different guests and pose the same question. It's just amazing. They don't realize the kind of destruction that they are playing a good part in dumbing down society.
It's happened. And that's where the problem is, the talking heads. There are no investigative reporters. People don't have people. Critical thinking is a thing of the past. Comprehension is a thing of the past. I notice now when I'm writing to people and speaking to people, I am speaking to them. My son is 37 years old. My first granddaughter became 4 years old yesterday.
Congratulations.
The second one is going to be 8 months. But thank you. But the thing I'm saying is that I'm speaking to people now sometimes as if I am like, wow, this is when I was training Omar to understand comprehension, because I am seeing that there is a void there. People are not comprehending. They're not reading with understanding. I will send an email with instructions, and I guarantee you, I'm sure Milton can relate to this.
100%.
And stuff. They're not reading. People are not reading. They're not reading. I'll say it's the information is right. What you're asking me, did you read it? It's right there. It's there.
Right.
And I'm a writer, so I know how to write.
Clearly. And even when they read,
they still don't understand. And then I realize that's where the problem is. Exactly.
But I'm glad you brought that issue, because I insist on that. In every class, at the beginning of the semester, I said, just because it's in a book, it doesn't mean it's true.
Exactly.
Just because it's a documentary that I sign you, it doesn't mean it's true. I want you to set a high bar for yourself. Let everything I assign to you pass the credibility test. If it doesn't add up, you don't have to believe it. Come back to class and ask me, and we'll discuss it. And you know what? It actually works. So many of my students say, you know what? I read that chapter again for the second time, and now I see things I didn't see before. I watched that documentary again, and now I hear things that I didn't hear before. You know, so it actually works. There's a cure for that. You know, read critically.
Yep, that's it. That's it. And we don't have that.
Why don't we switch topics? Why don't we switch up a little bit before we run out of time? Music. Music can also be very liberating.
Oh, yes.
So talk about music then. talk about the kind of music that you would strongly recommend that you would not want to allow somebody to go a whole lifetime without listening.
Oh, Milton, we don't have well, I'm going to do the
give
general
us, give us two or three.
Because it's the artist again.
Yes, okay. Understood.
It is in the artistry. It's not a one hit wonder kind of thing. It's and that's what came out of reggae. I talk about reggae music because reggae music is what I came out of.
Yes.
Coming out of Jamaica, but I was exposed to it. I'm a musicologist. I'm an ethnomusicologist. I love music. I study music from the region. Fela and people like that help carve my identity, right? But reggae is in my DNA.
Yes.
And reggae is in my family. And my family is in reggae, so I know that. And so I speak about reggae and I work with reggae and around reggae and through reggae to do just that, to uplift and liberate people. Because reggae has been that music of, they say, you know, the movement of Ja people, the liberation struggle around the world has been, you know, soothed and encouraged and motivated by reggae music. And I'm talking the Bob Marley's, yes, but the Peter Tosh's, the Toots and the Maytals, the Burning Spears, you know,
yes,
the culture, Joseph Hill, right, of the world. We must look at the Pablo Moses of the
yes,
world, the Steel Pulse of
yes,
the world,
yes,
the Azwads
of
the world, the Lucky Dubays of the world, right? We must look at them. We look at the Marcia Griffiths, the Rita Marley, right? The Judy Mowat of the world. We must look at them because that music is music that will take us through. It will keep us on our journey. It will soothe us, as I said, and it will also inspire and motivate us into forward movement. And so, you know, that is only but a scratch on the surface. There's a sistren who used to be on WBAI that was a sister friend of mine. Sister Fabian Miranda had a song.
Yes.
May her soul rest in peace. Sister Fabian had a song, Colin, Prophecy. And it's so, I keep thinking and playing that song in this time. And if I was on radio, I'd be playing it, well, I should say more often. We had a show, a Midnight Raver show that was replayed, and we played it in there, and it's been stimulated inside of me since. And when you look at her works and people like
that. The poetry style, right?
Exactly, that's where it's going. Sherry Binta Breeze and people like that.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
this is serious work. Linton Kwesi.
Chrissy Johnson.
You know, these are works that, like Milton says, if we cannot go through life without having had exposure.
And Linton was my dude in particular.
You know,
he was the one that inspired me big time. Because he was like, for me, a reporter telling me what was happening in England. And there's a bunch of things I learned about what was happening in the black communities in England just by picking up the latest LKJ.
And it speaks to the wider genre too, because many people learned about Africa and the struggles in Africa. Jamaica was the first place, you know, Milton, I know you know this, we were the first country, the first nation to really push back against apartheid, right?
Yes.
And so folks need to know that. And so the music, I learned about Africa, and many people learned about Africa through reggae music and through black liberation and black struggle through reggae music and global struggle through reggae music. So yes, it is interesting. And you know that we speak Big Youth, we think of Big Youth. When you said that, Big Youth was known as the Gleaner in his time. Milton, the Gleaner is the national newspaper of Jamaica.
And yes, they used to call him I'm familiar with the Gleaner.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, because I used to write for the Gleaner. I'm a recovering Gleaner. But Milton, they used to call him the Gleaner. And isn't that what Colin is saying here? Because he used to give a report in those days. You didn't have people really reading the newspaper like that, the masses at the dances and what have you. So he would report on what was happening. And it's been like that, you know?
I see, for me too, like, I mean, I love, you know, majority of the reggae genres, but I, you know, because I had a brother who was a sound system guy too, right? Play parties and all this stuff. And so I was lucky in terms of I come up around all these records. Mm-hmm. But the dub poetry in particular, like, grabbed me, right? You know, LKJ, Muta, Gene Binta Breeze, you know, like, I kept going back to those in particular, you know. So, you know, it's a power. And I think, you know, Terry probably listened to, because we're, you know, me and Terry have had discussions about, you know, the importance of the dub reggae in particular. Yes. Dub poetry, I should say. Because mm-hmm. you also have dub reggae. Mm-hmm. And I know they replayed a dub show the other day. But, yeah, man.
Yes, people should go listen to that last Friday night. We yeah. have that up in the archives. A Midnight Ravers special. Well, every show is a special. But yes, go listen to that dub show and you'll understand what Colin is talking about with the power of the music and really how important it is that we have the arts in our life. We really
I knew we wasn't going to have enough time.
Oh, no, I have another question that I would like our comrade guest to address. But before that, listeners, I just want to remind you, if you're just tuning in, this is Black Star News Show on WBAI 99.5 FM radio, also streaming on WBAI.org. And I'm your host, Milton Ali Mahdi, joined as always by my co-host and comrade, Colin Benjamin, managing editor of Black Star News. And we have a special guest today, Sharon Gordon. And you've special, been listening special. To Empowering Conversation today. And listeners, you know that this is not your typical conversation that you can listen to on any other program in New York or anywhere else. So to keep us going and to support WBAI, please do pick up the phone and dial 212-209-2950 and be as generous as you can be. You can also do something which is very helpful. You can adopt Black Star News Show or any one of our programs on WBAI as a buddy. And what that means is whatever amount that you designate will be taken out of your credit or debit card on a monthly basis. So that's the other way you can support us. So, comrade sister Sharon Gordon, I would like to ask you this question. When you think about the future of the global African community, and if we are to agree with what Walter Rodney said, that the fight for decolonization from formal European rule, colonialism, was important in Africa and the Caribbean, but that was only stage one, because thereafter, essentially what we have is the ruling class are Africans, yes, but they are so wedded to the global system dominated by the World Bank, by the IMF, and the European capitals, Washington, London, Paris, Bonn. So what is to be done? Walter Rodney was trying to explore how the working class, workers, can actually empower themselves by being in control of workers-run political parties. Because so long as the parties are run by these elite African people who want to emulate Europeans, then we've really not transitioned too far from the colonial era. So what are your thoughts on that?
At 3:43, he throws the big question on me and tells us we're just wrapping up, you know?
Right.
And then
right.
reminds me that I didn't mention Walter Rodney's How Europe Underdeveloped Africa.
Africa, you know, yeah,
just,
right.
Because there's so many books, as you know, off the top of the head. But you know, just a short, small, easy question that yeah. close out the segment.
No, this is to set you up for part two when we invite you again.
Okay. Thank you. Next Women's History Month.
No, before then.
Listen, no, but thank you. And, you know, Laughter, I find laughter to be good for me, and so mm-hmm. I like to laugh, as you can tell. But with all seriousness, you know, Milton, I am an eternal optimist, right?
Very good.
So likewise. I look, like when my son, I'm going to answer your question this way. I'm going to use my son, and I hope he forgives me in advance. But we have conversations, and my son is just someone I have good conversations with. But, you know, he's part of the 30-something, almost 40 age group. And, you know, he's really annoyed with a lot that he sees going on. And I know that he knows what's going on because it's poured into him. But he says, sometimes when he's going on, I said to him, I have to remind him, I said, slow down. We are less years out of enslavement than we were.
Correct.
Enslaved, right? Mm. And we ain't get diddly. We are the most resilient people I can't even imagine otherwise, because we are less years out, and look at us, and we continue. And that's why Maya said, and still we rise.
Right.
Now I know it is in the rising that the work is, right? But it's what I said. We have to get back to what you said. Reading is fundamental. We have to get back to educating, one-on-one communication. Get back to, remember when we used to go, well, I don't know about what you know, Milton, but here we used to go to the slave theater and places
like that,
the elders. And, you know, have people's homes we used to go into and have these meetings and these talks and these, it's like educational community experiences, but it was passing on the knowledge of the culture and the history to us, the next generation. So we need to get back to that, because we are losing, but we are winning. And so I, you know, it's the tale of two worlds. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times, right?
Right.
Dickens,
right.
But we're not throwing out any Dickens out there. But anyway, you know, I'm sorry. I'm just being Sharon.
No, I agree with you.
Please don't write to us. I'm just being Sharon. It's what I do. Oh, gosh.
Anyway. I agree with you. As Rodney called it, the groundings.
The grounding. That's it. Yes. The groundings. Yes. Another book you should get. Groundings with My Brethren by Walter Rodney.
Right.
But it's the groundings. We need grounding sessions. We need to get back to it, because we are taken for granted. For example, in this manifestation, I know many of us are realizing that people we thought we and them shared similar or same perspectives on things, we realize how diametrically opposite we are.
Yeah.
We're realizing that now. That means y'all didn't have a conversation early up in that friendship. So y'all did not know. Yeah. That y'all felt this way about this thing. And then it got kind of a little Gucci, as the kids say. It got a little spicy, and then boom, you know, and just a lot of explosions and stuff going on around here, because people aren't talking. People don't know each other. People know people on a superficial level. They know the history on a superficial level. They know living on a superficial level. They know we have to get back to groundings. We have to get back to groundings. And I am optimistic that it's in conversations like this. I am not your normal guest. This is not a normal program for you. No, but like I said this evening, this was the message, as you are bringing Women's History Month to a close, that the women, the females, have asked me to speak. They're speaking through me to this audience this evening, because we need to hear this. We've got to get back to that. It is the only way. It is the only way we have to preserve while we move forward. Sankofa, man. It's Sankofa.
Yeah, the groundings for my brothers. I had as a beginning of the year, I had 10 copies at home. I now have 4 copies left, which means I've given away 6 copies.
You're doing good, my brother.
And then when it comes to zero, I will order another 10 copies. And when I meet people that I think, if I, you know, interact with them, I know they're going to go and share this message with many other people, I always give them a copy of the book. So I always have one or 2 copies of that book by Walter Rodney in my bag that I give away as a gift. And I have tremendous pleasure in giving that book away, especially to people that I know are going to read that book. I don't give, I'm very selective.
Have to be. Come on.
I give that book.
Yes, you have to be. Yeah. You're not going to cast pearls before swine, as my grandma would say. So you're going to be, you know, intentional in your, you know, being a benefactor of books.
Yes, but before we run out of time, I want to pose this open question. What is it that we have not yet asked you that you feel that you would like to share in the last couple of minutes that we have for listeners to think about?
How important mental health issues is amongst us right now. We are seeing a manifestation of severe a crisis of mental health that is manifesting itself, and folks are normalizing it and acting as if it's normal. It's not. It's very concerning, and I think that our diet and our exercise and our lifestyle has a lot to do with that. Our consumption, what are we consuming, what are we putting in our bodies? And so I encourage people to too much sugar, too much white flour, like get your diet in order and get your mind right, get your body right. This time that we're in, it calls for that. You have to get your body right, and then get your mind and your body right. It's a mind body connection, and then the rest will come. It will come as you prepare yourself for it. But please, it's because of the sugar and all that, the imbalance of the diet. And I'm not blaming the victims here. I'm just saying that we have to really look at it. It is why we're seeing this manifestation. It's of a great concern to me. It's something that I'm very close to. I have friends who are very involved in working in the community. I'm thinking of a friend of mine, Lilith Clacken with the Hallie Clacken Bipolar Foundation. Just so much good work is going on out here, but people need to take away the stigma, the shame. If you need help in understanding how to eat, reach out to someone so we can help you. Reach out, how to exercise. You believe me, you can walk, you can get a hula hoop, you can get a skipping rope, there's so many things that we can do, you know. Just really become mindful of what you're doing with your mind. Where are you spending your time? Turn off the phones, turn off the TV, get outside, get fresh air in your lungs, communicate with people, go see somebody you haven't seen in a long time. I don't know if that was even what you wanted me to say.
Oh, no, absolutely. Of course. No, listen, when I cut out sugar, I would say going on maybe, I wouldn't quite say 10, but maybe 8 years now.
Bless your heart.
Zero sugar, of course, no soda. Wonderful. No sugar in the tea.
Nice.
Try to cut out, like, you know, white rice, all that stuff, anything with sugar. Because as I tell my friends, yeah, in this country, even salt has sugar. You know?
Even salt has sugar.
Everything has sugar.
And everything you buy in a package has salt and sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everything has salt and sugar. So you got to be careful. Just be mindful. Be very mindful, family, as we move into this time that we're moving in and moving at warp speed as we are. Your body and your mind has to be right more than any time. It has to be right now. We see what's going on. We have to be mindful of ourselves and mindful of our family, how we're taking care of the mothers. As we bring Women's History Month into focus, you know, to the mothers and the sisters and the aunties and the cousins and daughters, you know, I say, you know, how is the family eating? How is the family exercising? How is the family spending time? Are they spending time? Are we, you know, structuring that into the agenda for the day, the week, what, you know, are we talking with each other? We have to get back to that.
Okay. Comrade Professor Sharon Gordon, educator, enlightener. Enlightener, I call you. On that note, tell listeners how they can get in touch with you to continue this conversation. They don't have to wait till we invite you again.
They're going to have to wait till you invite me right at the podcast. And remember now, this is the joke, right? Colin is laughing because he knew this was coming. Milton, I told you. So in all honesty, though, honestly speaking, Midnight Ravers website, send me an email at midnightravers@wbi.org and I'll get it. But in all seriousness, Milton, I really, and yes, family, I am coming back to social media, but on my terms. Milton, you said something earlier, and I said to you from your lips to God's ears and Ashe, the podcast, folks have been really plying me and begging me, and I will.
Yes.
But knowing that I am in a moment when, you know, we have.
On your terms.
Exactly,
on your terms.
I do not, you know, I can't, I cannot. I am so moved by the love and outpouring that is continuously heaped on me in that regard, but I must move when it is right for me to move.
On your terms.
And I appreciate everyone overstanding, understanding, and appreciating that everything comes together in the fullness of time, because we must move in the fullness and with the fullness of time.
All right, listeners.
Sometimes we get in our own way.
We do.
We don't realize that. We jump the gun.
Everything in its time. Sisters and everything. Brothers, that's all the time we have for today's discussion. We will definitely have this special guest again, as you can tell, that all of us, including myself and Colin, I'm sure we're learning so much today.
Oh, yes. Always. And,
so listeners, continue to support WBAI because this is the only platform that you can get this type of university discussion. And that number, once again, is 212-209-2950. You can also follow me at Ali Mahdi. And also make sure you visit blackstarnews.com to see the wonderful work that Brother Colin Benjamin is doing as managing editor. That's all the time we have today. Stay Pan-African. Stay healthy. See you soon.
Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you, and thanks to your listening audience and supporters of WBAI. Thank you, Milton. Thank you, Colin.
WPFW in Washington and WBAI in New York. I'm Amara Evering with some brief news headlines. DC's government has signaled its commitment to investing money into replacing the city's aging jail after years of complaints about poor conditions from advocates and inmates alike. Conditions at DC's jail attracted national attention after those who were charged in the Capitol insurrection were sent to the facility and reported serious issues at the jail. Over the years, there have been reports of vermin infestations, mold growth, very poor ventilation and air conditioning, a crumbling physical infrastructure, and poor sanitation. After a surprise inspection by the U.S. Marshals Service, 400 defendants were transferred to a facility in Pennsylvania because of deplorable conditions. In the budget proposal, the city could allocate more than $250 million over 6 years to design a new facility. Emily Tatro, deputy director of the Council for Court Excellence, called for the city to go a step further, saying, quote, "We need to know that they are committed to decarceration and community investment, which are really necessary to achieve the goals that this facility lays out," end quote. This comes as the D.C. Department of Corrections will end a policy that places transgender people in shackles when they're first processed at the jail. After a months-long dispute over gender housing policies at the facility, a settlement was finally reached in court. The ACLU and Public Defender Service in D.C. filed a lawsuit saying that the jail's practices constituted as discrimination on the basis of gender identity and sex. The Department of Corrections will now limit the time that transgender people are held in protective custody, which has been linked to solitary confinement. The Department of Corrections also said they will report their progress in making these changes to the Public Defender Service. Sunday Hinton, a trans woman whose experiences were at the center of this lawsuit, commented, quote, "No one should face what I had to face at the DC jail." She added, quote, "I'm glad that other trans people at the jail will be treated with more dignity." President Biden announced a $5.8 trillion budget proposal yesterday that shied away from some key campaign promises and offered concessions to conservatives. The proposal calls for large increases to military and police funding. It also calls for raising taxes on the wealthy to reduce fiscal deficits. Biden is asking Congress to authorize more than $800 billion in national security spending and over $30 billion for policing. The budget proposal also includes a so-called bipartisan unity agenda focusing on mental health, cancer, and opioid overdoses. As part of that program, the Department of Veterans Affairs could receive nearly $120 billion next year to address homelessness and health care among veterans. The proposed budget also includes $2 billion for an effort to increase coronavirus vaccination among the uninsured. To shrink the fiscal deficit, Biden is proposing a 20% minimum tax on all income for U.S. residents with wealth over $100 million. The White House says that such a tax would reduce the fiscal deficit by a total